the Lord certainly blessed me and Brother Wesley's remarks tonight, and trust that you feel the same. I was thinking as I was sitting here behind these brethren that I can remember the first time that I heard both of them preach. And I can remember hearing Brother Sam at Bethany Church when me and Sister Allison were members there back, I believe, don't hold me to the year. It was about 2004 or 5, Brother Sam. And remember he preached from Acts chapter 18. I have much people in this city. Enjoyed it. Can remember when I heard Brother Wesley preach the first time. It was at the association meeting out at the church. It's in the middle of the state park there. Brother Wesley, the first time we had met. And remember what Brother Wesley preached on that day. Enjoyed it. And, you know, that's a blessing to be able to remember those things and to be able to feast upon them. Whosoever loseth his life for my sake shall find it, is what Brother Wesley preached on that day, and I remember it. And I thank the Lord for the labors of these brethren, and trust that as today is a new day, that the prayers will continue for me in the time that I'm before you tonight. I've enjoyed the supper, and I appreciate the invitation to come and be with you at Cool Springs. I certainly wish we made it up here more often to see you. And I trust that us not making it any more than we do for some of your Sunday night services is not viewed as a lack of appreciation of the fellowship that we have for you. We love you in this part of the country and are thankful for you. But I know that as I look out here tonight, I can tell there's a lot of others with youngins. And I don't need to explain to y'all the reason why we can't make it any more often than we do. I don't think I need to go into detail, and I ain't blaming nobody, but we all know what I mean by that. But we're thankful to be with you tonight, and I want to read to you tonight from Mark chapter 4 and begin to read with verse 35 in Mark chapter 4. The word of the Lord reads, "And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?
Amen.
The Lord would be with us tonight. I want us to look here at some things that we see in these verses that tell us about Jesus. I'm sure that these things that are on our hearts and minds tonight, I don't think that anything that I'm going to show you is going to be new. It may be, but I hope I'm not the first one to preach it. I like what the preacher said, is even if I'm the first one to preach it for somebody who hadn't heard it before, I hope somebody all the way back down the line somewhere has said what it is that's on my mind. But there's some things here about Jesus that I believe it's encouraging for us to be able to know and for us to be able to hear again about our Lord and Savior. I don't believe that through the preaching of the gospel that the knowledge of Jesus is imparted in the gospel. I believe that we know Jesus and know God from the time that we're born again of the Spirit of God. The scripture tells us that when regards to the covenant that we read about in Hebrews chapter 8 and chapter 10, that they shall not teach every man his brother and every man his neighbor, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me from the least unto the greatest. Amen. Whenever we are by nature in our sins, we do not know God. We do not love God. We have no desire to want to know Him. We have no desire to have any sort of thought about God or anything spiritual whatsoever. Before the Lord deals with us and gives us life, we only are interested in that which is natural, and are, as a matter of fact, the Bible describes our mind as having an enmity against God. And whenever we are in such a condition, it is the Lord and the Lord alone that comes and visits us in such an estate and imparts eternal life unto us. And whenever He gives us life in Him, when He calls us and tells us to live, and we are made alive, and the Bible calls it a holy calling. And when He calls us and makes us alive in Him, immediately we are made alive in Jesus, and we know God. We know God. We love God. And those are things that can only describe one who has been touched by God, has been made alive by God. That doesn't come through the gospel. It comes by the direct work of God Himself, and whenever He gives us eternal life in Him, we know it. But you know, even though we're blessed to know Him from that time forward, isn't that a blessing to be able to learn some additional things about the Lord? Amen. Isn't that a blessing that God has blessed us to be able to have His Word? Just as He blessed those that were with Him this day and saw these things and witnessed these things and lived in these things, they were blessed to be able to know some things about Jesus that not everyone who had the knowledge of God in their heart and were born again at this point in time knew about Jesus. You and I are in the same place this night, and that is that we're blessed to not only have a hope in Jesus and be born again of the Spirit of God, but we're blessed to be able to have His Word, and I trust be in the presence of the preaching of the gospel, that we might know some more about the One who gave us eternal life in Himself, Jesus Christ, that we might know more about Him. I tell you, I don't believe that we could, if we spent every minute we have between now and the time we're home with Him, I don't believe we can ever say that we know everything about Him. Do y'all? I don't believe we could. I don't believe we can say we got everything figured out in His book, that we know everything about His Word. And I trust that as He commanded and gave us the exhortation to search the Scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, but they are they which testify of Me, that we just have a desire just to read more about Him and know more about Him. Well, here we see some things about Jesus that I hope makes us feel like we're closer to Him. Makes us feel, as the hymn writer said tonight, and we sung the hymn, nearer, my God, to Thee. As the Scripture says, draw nigh to Me, draw nigh to Him, and He'll draw nigh to you. You know, whenever we see these miraculous events that took place in Scripture, I hope we feel near to the Lord our God. You know, we see the first thing here, you know, and necessarily as I was had these things on my mind, and they originated from reading in Matthew 8, and because the same event is recorded there, but it was here that I felt like the Lord had impressed upon our minds to speak. So I don't know that it's not going to be in the order of the verses. of the things about Jesus that I want you to see tonight. But the first thing I want you to see is and recognize is that while they're in this ship and the sea is beating upon that ship, you see that the scripture tells us that he was in the hinder part of the ship, verse 38, asleep on a pillow. Asleep on a pillow. Now there are times in the scriptures when some are sleeping that it's not good. Remember the account of Jonah? You know, when God called Jonah to go down to Nineveh and to preach against that city, and he fled and he went to Tarshish and went down into the ship, and there he laid down and he went to sleep. I like what the preacher said one time. When he fled from the presence of the Lord, he went down, 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 down. And he laid down in that ship, sleeping, to the point where whenever the storm was cast upon that ship, those mariners had to come and they woke him up. Now, I don't believe Jonah was doing right sleeping then. I don't think he was in the way and will of God in the bow of that ship. I don't know about you. You may disagree with me, but I don't believe he was headed in a good direction. You remember when Jesus gave some the charge to pray and to watch? And he went forth and he prayed, and there he came back to them and they were asleep. Are there some proverbs that are popping into your mind about sleeping maybe during harvest, and how one that sleeps in harvest shall come to want? And as a door turneth upon its hinges, so doth a slothful man upon his bed. You know, that proverb rings in my mind whenever I hit that sleep button on my alarm clock. I don't know if it does y'all's. And you say, Brother Will, that's a good idea. You mean tell me you never hit it? Oh, I ain't saying that. I'm just telling you that after a time or two, there's some things that maybe be good for us to think about. As a door turneth upon its hinges, so doth a slothful man upon his bed. You know, not all sleep is justifiable sleep. But I want to tell you, if Jesus was sleeping, everything was right with Jesus. He never did anything wrong. And here he is asleep in the hinder part of this ship while the storm is beating upon the side of that ship. You know, whenever Jesus does something, I want to tell you, it's just right. Jesus' actions are just right. They are perfect. Jesus' timing is just right. It is perfect. There was no sin in what Jesus was doing in resting in the back of this ship. As a matter of fact, if you go back to the account in Matthew, you can be reminded whenever he told them to let us go over unto the other side, there was one who came to him and told him that he would follow him all the way to the end of the earth. And Jesus looked at him and said that the birds of the air have nests and the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man hath not a place to lay his head. You know, one of the things that we need to know about Jesus tonight, and I trust that every single one of us that are at Cool Springs on a Thursday night believe this about our Lord, and that is that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. He's always been and He will always be. But one of the things that makes Him so marvelous to us as our Savior and our Mediator in heaven above is that not only is He the eternal Son of God, I want to tell you, He's the Son of Man. He's the Son of Man. As a man, just as we need rest, He needed rest. You know, that's what makes Jesus better. Not only unique in comparison to all the other gods that exist in this world. And you and I know whenever I say all the other gods that exist, I'm not talking about ones nothing reverend belongs to them. No respect in such a realm belongs to them. But even some of the ones that you see out in this world, what makes Jesus stand out among him is that he's just not the eternal Son of God. He's the Son of Man who came and just as the Hebrew writer said, for such an high priest became us. He became manifest in the flesh. And that ought to mean something to you and I. You know, I enjoy foreign food. You know, I joked at Hebron this last Sunday that the Primitive Baptists are getting cultured. We had Mexican bean dip and Japanese fried rice on the line down at Hebron. You know, my daddy-in-law, the first time I took him to a Japanese restaurant, he said, "Well, I guess you don't remember Pearl Harbor." And I had to tell him, "It'll be all right. This is good eating. This is good food." I enjoy eating foreign food. When we lived in a metro area, me and my family particularly, I probably leaned more towards it than they did, but I always enjoyed going to a Chinese restaurant. I don't eat a lot of buffets, don't get me wrong. I like to go in there and look at a menu and order, but, you know, I enjoy that food. But every time I've ever been in one, and usually when one of these is present there, it's usually indicative that the food is pretty good. But you walk through there where the waiting room is, and there's a big old golden statue of a fella sitting there, right there at the mouth of the door when you go in. And that's Buddha. And I'm not here to talk down on nobody. Don't get me wrong. I worked with a Buddhist who I believe that I'll be in glory with one day. And I know some people, whenever they hear, I heard somebody here heard me tell that story and they became disturbed about it. Didn't know how anybody could be a Buddhist and still be a born-again child of God. And I tried to explain to him, it's because this religion doesn't make you a born-again child of God. And praise be unto the Lord that confusion about religion does not mean that you're not a child of God. Now, they didn't catch what I meant by that. They didn't catch what I meant by that. But I tell you, whenever I've walked in and I've seen one, I've never once had a desire to show reverence to it. I've never once, as a matter of fact, whenever I look at it, there's a little bit of pity in my soul that someone would have to believe that that is their God. Just something that's an old statue just sitting there. You know, in the days of Isaiah put it this way, they are a burden to the weary beast. That the gods that Israel had made unto themselves is that unless they were to pick it up and move it anywhere, it couldn't go where it needed to be. Well, I want to tell you, the God that we serve is alive in glory above, and He can be everywhere where He is, it's His will to be, and be nowhere absent where it's His will to go. And that same God that we believe is the eternal Son of God is the same one that became us, for such an high priest became us, so that you and I would be able to have a Savior, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who became manifest in the flesh. I'm going to tell you, if that doesn't allow us to be able to rejoice in the fact that we have one that can relate to us, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. I tell you, Jesus, He was tired. You say, "Brother Will, does He know what it's like to be rejected and be tired?" I want to tell you, He suffered it all. Whenever He came and He fed the multitudes, and the scripture says that whenever they went over to the other side, that the multitudes followed Him. And He looked at them and said, you followed me because you ate of the loaves and were filled. And He began to preach unto them the precious doctrines that we believe today, that all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I'll raise him up again at the last day. Don't tell me Jesus was, he preached what we believe, and He established what the truth was. And whenever He did, they said, "These be hard sayings. Who can know them?" And they went away. They went away. Even to the point where He looked at His apostles and said, "Will you also go away?" I tell you, old Peter said, "Where shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." But look at the, don't tell me that Jesus doesn't know what it's like to be rejected. He was despised and rejected of men, is what the prophet said. He came into His own and His own received Him not. There's not anything that we can face here in this world that our Savior cannot relate to. No, He's never been tempted with sin. No, He's never sinned. He could not sin. He's the eternal Son of God. He didn't have the Adamic nature within Him. But I want to tell you the challenges that we face. Oh, little Lamb of God, we've got a Savior that faced them as well. Oh, He did. He was asleep. He was tired. Son of Man hath not a place to lay His head. I believe He suffered pain at the hands of men whenever they whipped Him with those whips. Don't you know that He knows what pain is?
Don't you know that whenever we face pain and we bow and say, Lord, be with me and visit me in my infirmity? You know, I can say it with a smile because I'm well now, if you will. But I don't know about up here, but we had the flu down there something awful this year. And everybody in my house got it, except for me and my 17-year-old son. And boy, I uttered the words, whew, looks like I'm going to make it through and I'm not going to get it. And next thing you know, I was sitting in my office on a Thursday morning. I'm going to tell you, it started at the soles of my feet. And when it worked its way up about halfway to my knee, as far as the aches and the pains, I said, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. And next thing you know, I was flat on my back on my bed. And I'm going to tell you, whenever, bless Sister Allison's heart when Brother Will gets sick. Y'all pray for her. I knew, and she knew it too. As soon as I was able to find consolation and comfort in the fact that I could pray to my God in heaven and have it filter through the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that He knows exactly what it is whenever we face the things that we face here in this world. I tell you, Jesus is not only the eternal Son of God, He's the Son of man. Oh, He became us. It was, we not only see that about Him here, is that He's the Son of man, but if you'll look up, you'll see in verse 35, the first verse that I read to you, that when even was come, He saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. You ever been on a trip and things not go very well? And you wonder, and maybe even begin to cast a little blame on the one whose trip the idea was about being in such a fix. We went on a cruise, me and my family did, back in December. Glad we did. Don't have plans on going on another one. We had a good time, don't get me wrong. But when we were still at port before we took off, and we got everything checked into our room, we went up there, everybody said, all you could eat up there on the Lido deck is what they called it. I don't know where that word came from, but when you mention that around the Martins, all you can eat, we're going to find it. And we found it, along with about 3,000 other head of folks. And wasn't enough room up there, but maybe for about a third of that number. So we just kind of eased out and found us an opening. I looked at Sister Allison and I said, we got about 45 minutes before this thing takes off. I said, are you ready just to cast this off to a poor decision and go get our stuff and get off of this boat right now before we get off of this port and get out here? Because I don't think we thought this thing through very well. And I maybe even made the comment that it may have been her idea that we take a cruise. Now, it would have been a mistake if we'd have done it because we ended up having a good time. But Jesus says, let us go over to the other side. And whenever they're in the process of doing what it is that Jesus told them to do, they're met with a challenge. You know, sometimes the devil can persuade us that when we meet challenges that maybe that the Lord is not in the matter. Amen. Well, I'm going to tell you, if you'll pay careful enough attention about many instances in the Scripture, is that when you meet challenges, it may be indicative that there's some forces trying to work against you to some things that would be a great blessing for you to be able to see and observe and witness. You know, I believe, as we're going to see here in a minute, I believe God has control over all storms. Don't get me wrong. But I want to tell you, the Bible never tells us that in obeying God and doing what is His will in our life, that we will not face challenges for doing what it is that He's told us to do. As a matter of fact, He has warned us and told us that in this life you shall have tribulations. It's a result of the sin
that exists in this world that man caused and not God. And sin that exists in this world creates challenges for us whenever we want to walk with the Lord and whenever we want to be in His will. There are challenges that are there. And, you know, praise be unto the Lord that He is our guide, that He is the one who said, let us go over unto the other side. Certainly we believe that again, that Jesus, having done all things well and everything is right that He does, He didn't call something and purposefully lead them into something that He calls. But here He's about to manifest and show what His power is over something. And whenever we face a challenge here in this world, make no doubt about it, it doesn't mean that God is not with us and is not blessing us to be able to walk in a certain way.
Amen.
You know, I often, whenever you think about your days in the faith and of blessings that you've enjoyed, you know, I don't know about you, and I'm sure everybody's account is probably a little different. You know, I don't know about you, but I enjoy hearing about one another's origins in the kingdom of God. You know, whenever you talk to somebody the first time, you can ask them, you know, when they visited the Primitive Baptists and when they began to worship among the Primitive Baptists, and how did you get here? And, you know, I enjoy those conversations. I don't know about you, but it seems like whenever you meet somebody new, it always kind of ends up there. We all kind of want to hear about one another's accounts. You know, I'm going to tell you, whenever me and Sister Allison were blessed to be able to come among the old line Primitive Baptists, I'm going to tell you what, it stirred up that old devil. And I'm going to tell you what, if he could come up with a roadblock, if there was a roadblock that exists, if there was a tree on the side of the road that could have gotten thrown in the middle of that road, I'm going to tell you what, I believe he picked it up and he threw it in the way in order to try to prevent us from going. And what I am persuaded, and I want to tell you early in the faith, it can cause you some doubt. It can make you doubt whether or not the Lord is in the matter. Well, I'm going to tell you right here is an example of whenever the scripture says Jesus said, let us go over into the other side. And they were met with a challenge in the process of doing what it was that God told them to do.
Amen.
Oh, but I'm going to tell you, the Lord just didn't leave them to it, did he? He didn't just leave them to it. He's our God. He's the Son of Man. He manifests here. The scripture tells us that he manifests his power and his authority. You know, as they were going along there, the scripture says that the wind and the waves hit that ship so hard that it was full. It was now full. It meant that it was taking on water. You know, I've been in a few situations where a fishing boat was taking on water, and I got nervous. I wasn't in near the condition that these brethren were in. I was fishing with one of the church brethren up in the Etowah River one time. I was looking down there, and I saw that boat taking on water. And I'd look at it, and I'd look at him. He was the captain of that ship. That was his boat. We were guests on it, and I didn't want to just speak up and say we're taking on water, but it finally got to the point where I had to tell him we're taking on water. We're taking on some water. And he didn't have a whole lot of concern on his face, but he went back there to the back, and when he tried to turn the bilge pump on to pump that water out, and the bilge pump was tore up, then the same look that was on my face became on his face. And he got a little concerned about our circumstance. We got out of it, thank the Lord. But here, the boat was taking on water. And they were at a place where they couldn't do anything about it. They were at a place where they felt like they were helpless, to the point where they went back to Jesus. And they said, carest thou not that we perish, is what they asked Jesus in the back of that ship whenever he went back to them. And the scripture tells us that he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. What do you think happened whenever Jesus Christ told that sea, peace be still? I want to tell you what happened is that sea became still because the Lord God of glory above and the God of heaven and earth said, peace be still, and peace was brought under that body of water. No more storm anymore. You know, we experienced something back in on September the 26th, then I'm sure that if a lot of y'all were dwell in this part of the country, I think y'all lived through it too. You know, so much for doubting whether or not a hurricane could come from the Gulf of Mexico and come right up through this part of the country and cause a stir, because I'm going to tell you, I had my doubts on that afternoon as well, that something could happen like that. I said, surely if we're going to get hit with a hurricane in Emanuel County, Georgia, it's going to come from the Atlantic Ocean and not from the Gulf of Mexico. Whenever I was getting that furniture off of my ports that afternoon before it came, I said, this is a waste of time. We're going to have to turn around and put it back out here tomorrow. We're just doing a bunch of things, just above measure. Surely we won't get hit with anything. I'll tell you, I believe that was the longest night of my life. Oh, it was a long night. I tell you, I thought one time if I could just get something wrapped around my head where I could just close my eyes for a few minutes, I might wake up. And it just might be over. It just might be over. I'd pick up my phone and I'd look at where that storm was and I'd say, listen, I mean, it wasn't that I wanted it on anybody else, but I was just wanting it to move on up country and get out, because it just seemed like it just beat upon our home all night long. It wouldn't ever go away. The Lord blessed us to endure it, but I'm going to tell you, I believe with every ounce of my being that if it was God's will to do so, He could have spoke and said, peace be still. And I believe even in the midst of the gust that we were living through that night, I believe it would have been still, Brother Sam. I believe it would have been still. You know, whenever somebody tells you that it takes the active obedience of us in nature in order for God's will to be imparted, I'm going to tell you, you take them right here to this account and say, you tell me if an ocean can actively obey the Lord, or if the Lord can just speak and that ocean obey what it is that He tells them, what He told it, and it do exactly what He says. He said, peace be still. I'm going to tell you, we need to believe in a God that can take an ocean that is beating upon a vessel, and to the point where it's filling that vessel and can say, peace be still, and immediately it be still. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I believe that we serve a God that can take a wild man of Gadara and can tame that man upon his own speech unto him. I believe we serve a God that can take one that is blind and been blind from birth and be able to make him see. I believe that we serve a God that can take the dead and bring them back to life. I believe that that shows us what a powerful Lord that we have in heaven above. Oh, that we might know some things about Jesus. You know, we may know Him upon the time of new birth, but I tell you, there's some things in His Word that we can know about Him that I think can make us grow in our fellowship with Him. You know, when they came to Jesus, this is the last one and I'll close. When they came to Jesus and told Him and asked Him, you know, carest thou not that we perish? And, you know, and He brought calm to that sea. You know, you go to another account, and he walked on the sea. He walked on it whenever it was too boisterous for them to row in. He walked on it. You know, I read a commentary one time that they said there wasn't no way that He walked on that sea. That was ice. It was frozen over. I said, boy, He doesn't account too much wisdom to those apostles that they'd have a paddle in their hand trying to paddle on ice. Would y'all want to be in a boat with a group of folks that whenever they got stuck on ice, tried to put that paddle on top of the ice and try to paddle across of it? I think anybody would have enough sense to get out and drag it across it, wouldn't you? Instead of trying to paddle across it. Jesus walked on it another time. But you know, they marveled that even the wind and the sea obey Him. Scripture says that He looked at them in verse 40 and He said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now, I don't think Jesus here is indicating that they weren't born again. And I believe that upon the time of new birth, there's a measure of faith that we have. I believe there's scripture to support such, and that is that the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness, goodness, and meekness, and faith. That means faith is given to us at the time that the Spirit of God comes within us as a measure of it. And Jesus is not here saying that they don't have a measure of faith. But I believe what He is saying is that maybe you're not utilizing the measure that I gave you. Why have you no faith? You know, in Hebrews chapter 4, he's referencing the Old Testament Jews that whenever he blessed them to be able to be at the brink of going into the promised land, that they didn't go in because it was not, you know, the word and the promise was not mixed with faith with them that heard it. He says here, how is it that you have no faith? You know, it tells us also in the Hebrew letter that without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, that's not a new birth text, by the way. That's not telling us that in order to come to him when he calls us and gives us life, we must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I don't think that's what that verse is teaching us. That is telling us that when God blesses us to be in possession of something that he gave us, that it pleases him when we use what it is that he gave us. And whenever he gave us love and the new birth, I believe it pleases him whenever we manifest that love. As Brother Sam mentioned that hymn that we sung tonight, let us love our God supremely and let us love each other too. I don't think it pleases God when we don't love like we should. I don't think it pleases God knowing that he gave us joy whenever we don't rejoice in what he's done for us the way that we ought to rejoice. And each one of those gifts, you can go right on down and you can conclude right there with faith. And that is that because God has blessed us to be able to have faith, isn't it pleasing unto God when we utilize and exercise what it is that he's given us? That we trust him. Do you trust the Lord tonight? I'm going to tell you, has he ever given us a reason not to? He hadn't given me one. I'm going to tell you, I've done a lot in my life to create obstacles and gaps for me being able to see the fulfillment of his promises so that I could trust him more. But that's on me. That's not on him. I'm going to tell you, he's never done anything but fulfill every promise he's ever made. And the ones that he hadn't fulfilled, I'm going to tell you, because we have seen the multitude of the ones he has fulfilled, you and I can be blessed in trusting that he'll fulfill everyone in the future just as he was everyone in the past. And I'm going to tell you, our Lord's going to be with his people. You hear me? Our Lord's going to be with the ones who obey him, that he says, let us go over into the other side. And whenever he's encouraging, whenever he's laying out a path for us to be able to walk with him, even though there may be obstacles placed in our way, I want to tell you, you trust in him and the Lord will bless you in the path and along the way to be able to see and to be able to witness things that glorify our God, just like these apostles were able to witness this night, to be able to see these marvelous things of God. Oh, that the Lord bless us just to trust in him and walk with him all the days of our life. I'm going to tell you, you and I don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future, don't we? You and I don't know it, but I'm going to tell you, the one who holds it can guide us through it just as he guided them across this way when he said, let us go over unto the other side. Oh, that we wouldn't be like one that went to him and said, carest thou not that we perish? Oh, he does. He cares whenever we face those challenges. But he has power to overcome. In this life, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I've overcome it. You and I can have trust and confidence in that tonight. You know, I'll say this in closing, and I meant to quit 5 minutes ago. But I'm going to quit right now with this. You know, in the day and time in which we live, you know, so many people wonder what's to happen with the church, Brother Will? We don't know, other than the fact that it's going to be somewhere. But I'm going to trust in the one who has it in his hand. And I'm going to go over into the other side with him. I believe I'm looking at a group of folks that feel the same way about it. That whatever obstacle may be in our way, I'm going to trust in the one that can say, peace be still into a boistering storm, and it immediately be calm. And bless us to be able to be on the other side, to continue all the days of our life to observe and be able to rejoice in the power of an almighty God. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention tonight.